Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
I confess that I'm a little bit tired today. Joe's tired too. Two weeks ago, Beth and I celebrated our 15th wedding anniversary, and among the plans, thank you. Among the things that we did, Beth found a couple of great Groupons. One was for a 6-hour jet ski rental, which was fantastic. I didn't realize that riding a jet ski for 6 hours was that hard on your body. It was no help that I crashed just a couple times. Just in the water, no damage to people or things, but that's differently hard on your body. The other thing that we did on Friday of that week was we did a 2-hour kayak tour around the La Jolla Caves. Awesome. Differently hard on your body. So in order to recover, I went to camp with 60 junior high school kids, 10 young adult counselors, and a few leaders. And one of the things I've learned, I've been in camping ministries for a long time, and one of the things that I've learned is when you're a counselor, the amount of time that you're spending with campers, but you know, I mean, you're there's, you know, usually there's at least two counselors in a cabin, and usually, you know, 8 or 10 campers in there. And so, I mean, you're on 24 hours a day for that time. And so there's no such thing as too much or even enough sleep. And what I've learned more recently in my camping experience is that when you're a leader, sometimes called a dean, the one where the counselors go when they're feeling exhausted, you often get even less sleep, even less time for recovery. So it was Friday morning, this past Friday morning, that I was at camp. And as a leader in the camp, but also as the only pastor on staff, it meant that basically, with a few exceptions, I was preaching twice a day. And that's hard on my voice. You can probably hear in my voice that it's a little different. I project a little less today because my voice is tired. Joe turned me up. Thanks, Joe. Like the rest of me is tired. And so it was Friday morning that I remember thinking to myself, okay, like the end is in sight. Only 3 more times to preach on Friday because there were some special things. Only 3 more times to preach on Friday. And then Saturday morning I get to go home and go to the Pride Parade and then spend 2 hours in the Pride booth that night, and then preach Sunday morning. On second thought, that didn't sound much like resting. Don't get me wrong, I love it all. It just didn't seem much like resting. And I think it's important that we all make sure we have that time for rest. Now, this illustration is not all about me, because I want to tell you about the Pride float. And many of you don't know some of the things that happened in the background with the Pride Float. We've been organizing the Pride Float and the Pride booth and the festival for weeks and weeks and weeks. And among some of the things that happened, you know, Sydney was ordering all that stuff that we're giving away at the festival. Lewis was ordering all kinds of stuff. He was designing and ordering stuff to go on the Pride Float. What many of you don't know is that about Tuesday of last week, Lewis was doing the good work of checking in on all of our registration stuff and found that there had been a miscommunication and that we were no longer registered to have a float in the parade. It was this, oh my gosh, it was this huge thing. And Lewis just managed it. Like, he did whatever magic and pulled whatever strings he had to pull to make that happen. So that's one thing. The other thing is that Lewis, weeks and weeks and weeks ago, ordered that beautiful rainbow and the letters, and there were these colorful trees on the float and all the decoration. He ordered that weeks ago, but none of it arrived until Thursday of this week. So Lewis had to organize his people in these very long, condensed days to be able to get it all put together. And then came Saturday morning. And Lewis and Joe connected because Joe's Jeep was pulling the float. And they picked it up here at the church and drove it. And it was about 2 miles away from our spot when a tire blew. And this is a little tiny tire on a float. And nobody has these tires in stock. They ended up having to go all the way to like El Cajon. You're killing me because I said La Mesa last service and he corrected me to El Cajon. And you're talking to a guy, I've only been in San Diego a year, so I don't know the difference between El Cajon and La Mesa anyway. I'm just gonna let you all laugh at me for a bit. Well done. So to go to wherever that tire was and get the new tire, and you got to take the rim off to have the tire mounted and then bring it all back, and just it all had to work, and they did magic. And then they finally got it back on. But then to get through the crowds to where the floats and everything were being organized, we were still building when the first floats left, but we were about number 70 in the parade, so we had a little extra time. But we finally got everything put on, and everything was okay. But the rain. When I moved from California to Nebraska, I got a whole new understanding of rainstorms in Nebraska and thunderstorms. Like, Nebraska has big raindrops. And I'd never experienced that in California until yesterday. When we had giant raindrops coming down from the sky, like giant raindrops coming in, and thunder and lightning like I'd not experienced here, but I had in Nebraska. And for those who were marching in the parade, carrying the banner in the parade, for those of us who were on the float, I think I've gone swimming and been less wet than I was standing on the float. I was so wet that when Beth and I, after the parade, when we walked what I'm pretty sure was 126.2 miles back to the car, we walked through puddles of water that, I'm not exaggerating, were 4 or 5 inches deep, but we didn't notice because we were that wet. What made it worth it was being on that float to see people react. And here's how it went. Well, if you were on Beth's side, which also had Zachary, my 5-year-old, in the front seat of Joe's Jeep waving, the cheering happened right away because there's a 5-year-old and he's adorable. Over on my side, where I'm not 5, thank you, still adorable, I appreciate that. Over on my side, the way it went was people, oh, it says Pride, oh, there's a rainbow, oh, that's great. I'll tell you a quick story about the rainbow in a minute, but here's how it happened. We're on that side, and people, you know, we see the float, and they see the sign at the bottom that says Pacific Beach United Methodist Church. And people saw that there was a church, and that's when the cheering started. And people would cry out. They would cry out loudly, thank you for being here. It was amazing. And it made the work, for me, and I'm going to speak for you too, Lewis, for me, it made that intensity of fatigue and standing there sopping wet and all the work that had gone into it, it made it worth it in a real and tangible way. Now, that quick story about the rainbow, there was one point in the parade where Beth and Lewis and I were desperately holding on to this cardboard rainbow in the rain as it fell apart, and we finally had to take it down. But we made it through the parade. And now it's time for many of us to rest. It's time for many of us, looking at both of you, actually all three of you, to rest. And I want to read a scripture for you out of the Gospel of Mark about this idea of resting. And this is a story where I think that we can find ourselves in many different parts of this story. You know how you go to a movie or you read a book, and sometimes there's a particular character or someone that you can just identify with, right? It seems sometimes like they're telling your story. And I want to go through this scripture, and I want to invite you to look at the different parts of this scripture and see where you might find yourself. I'm reading from the CEB, the Common English Bible. That's the translation I'm using. This is Mark chapter 6. I'll begin with verse 30. I want you to know that the lectionary skips ahead. I'll tell you what it is that we're skipping. I'm not going to get too much into detail on what we're skipping because that's going to come up in the lectionary later on. But this is chapter 6, verse 30. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him everything that they'd done and taught. They'd been doing a few things. And many people were coming and going, so there was no time to eat. Now, immediately we may begin to connect. Have you ever had that happen where you're just working so hard on whatever it is that you're working on that you just work right through a meal? All right, I'm sure all of us have experienced that. But that affects us, doesn't it? Like it affects our bodies, it affects our psyche. Some people use the term hangry. Now, I don't think being hungry makes us angry, but I think that when we don't eat, it makes it harder for us to regulate our emotions, right? So very often we can understand this in a clear way. So the disciples had been coming, many people had been coming and going. There was no time to eat. And so he said to the apostles, this is the first time he calls them apostles in the Gospel of Mark. Do you know what apostles are? Those who are sent. The first time he calls them apostles, because previous to this scripture, he'd spent time talking to them about going out into the world. Now, we as persons of faith, well, we've discussed before this idea that we can't just be a church who sort of huddles in here with locked doors to protect ourselves from the big bad world. Our call is not to huddle in here, perhaps to come and be nourished here, but more importantly, to get out into the world so that it's not a big bad world, but that we can transform it, that we can participate in God's work of making the big bad world a better place. So this is the first time he calls them apostles. I submit that we too may be called apostles because we too are sent. He said to the apostles, come by yourselves to a secluded place and rest for a while. And they departed in a boat by themselves for a deserted place. Now, I don't necessarily want to put myself in Jesus' shoes. I think those are too big a shoes to fill. But I do think it's important that we recognize that we all need to rest. We all need to take that time of rejuvenation. And the reason I don't think I can put myself in Jesus' shoes in this case is because I need that message too. Just as much as all of you need that message. Just as much as you guys need that message. We all need that message to rest, to withdraw for a little bit. And frankly, it's something that Jesus was really good at. We know stories in our Bibles about times that Jesus would withdraw into the wilderness to pray, to fast. He did well with self-care. Jesus reminds the apostles to do well with self-care, and I submit that we too might receive that reminder to do well with self-care. Now many people saw them leaving and recognized them, so they ran ahead from all the cities and arrived before them. When Jesus arrived, he saw a large crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Then he began to teach them many things. Now, I wonder how often we can identify with that crowd. You ever had that time in your life where you're just running around, sort of directionless, casting about? That sense, perhaps maybe even of desperation. I need something. I need to know something. I need to feel something. I need to experience something. I need healing. I need something. Sometimes we don't even know what we need. And so we have that sense of running, of casting about, perhaps in desperation. And I don't say desperation based on some sense of judgment. I'm not judging these people or us. I just think that sometimes we're so without our brains and our minds and we're just casting about and we're running about and there's nothing for us except we need something. And maybe we can identify with that as well. We'll skip ahead to verse 53 and explore that part of the story as well. The part that we're skipping that we'll manage a little bit in a future service, one is a story about Jesus and about 5,000 people sharing a meal together. in what we may see as a miraculous way. And another is a story of a storm on a lake with people in a boat who get scared until Jesus approaches on the water. But then we move on to verse 53. When Jesus and his disciples had crossed the lake, they landed at Gennesaret, anchored the boat, and came ashore. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about this town of Gennesaret. And I made some notes here. The town of Gennesaret, it's located on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee. And one of the things, bless you, one of the things that's somewhat unique about Gennesaret is it's rich in terms of hot mineral springs. Like, there are numerous hot mineral springs. And so for centuries, it was a place where people would go who were sick or injured and seeking some kind of healing. We all know that there are places and times where hot mineral springs can be really beneficial for our bodies. Some people even put jacuzzis near their houses. Who knew? There's healing power available in some of these things. And so this is a community, Gennesaret, where people, a lot of people gather because they are in need of healing. And so Jesus shows up, and this is how people respond. People immediately recognize Jesus and ran around the whole region, bringing sick people on their mats to wherever they heard he was. Wherever he went, villages, cities, or farming communities, they would place the sick in the marketplaces and beg him to allow them to touch even the hem of his clothing. Everyone who touched him was healed. And here's what I want to talk about when it comes to taking that time for rest, because we know it's critical. We know that we have to take that time of self-care, that we too need healing, rejuvenation, renewal. And it doesn't mean we get to stop paying attention to what it is that God calls us to do. I believe that God calls us to take care of ourselves. I don't think that God calls us, all right, you're done with what you're doing. You don't have to do this anymore. I get that I need some rest, but I don't think God wants me to stop being a pastor. I think God wants me to get some rest so that I can be rejuvenated and renewed and do even more work, perhaps be a better pastor. I believe for all of you who do so many things in this congregation, and believe me, there are a ton of you who do a ton of stuff, it's important that you take that time for self-care so that you can better do what you've been called to do, so that you can better pay attention to what God might be calling you to do anew, to a new thing that God might be calling you to do. I believe that we're called to rest and rejuvenate, to grow in our faith so that we can reach even more people. So this idea of rest is a temporary rest to strengthen us so that we might be better equipped to continue the good work of going out into our communities and the world and to join in God's good work to make it a better place, to transform the world. This, I believe, is our call. I invite you to join me in prayer. Holy and loving Creator, thank you for the many gifts that you bring to us, that you give to us so that we might use them. And thank you for the reminder to take time to rest, so that we might be renewed in you. And thank you for your continuing call, your ongoing call to join in the transformation of our communities and the world. You continue to give us gifts. Continue to give us strength. And continue to call us into the world. For all of this, we give you thanks, Almighty God. And so, God, we bring all these things to you and any that have been left unsaid and unshared as we join together in the prayer taught to us by your Son, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.